This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Turn on the mic. Payne and Pendergast with you here in the 7 o'clock hour. Laremy Tunsil trade. More reaction to it. Big trade. This is, I would say that if we were to step outside of Houston, this is the Laremy Tunsil trade is easily one of the two or three biggest transactions of this free agency period, probably alongside Sam Darnold going to the Seahawks and whatever ends up happening with Aaron Rodgers here. And we're still waiting on white smoke from House Rodgers, Seth, to see where he ends up.
I'll tell you what, if this trade had happened a couple years ago before D'Amico Ryans arrived, the Texans would have been getting lambasted for it. Whereas now the perception of the franchise has changed a lot. And the way I see it from the national pundits is more,
yeah,
that's weird. But they're not gonna crush the Texans for it. And largely, the analytics types have said the compensation makes sense. It was a good return for Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, like even the people who vehemently disagree with trading your best pass protector amidst or after a season in which you allowed a ton of sacks, they're not doing it in a way that they would have done it, to your point, a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, they would have attached an opinion on the Texans organization as a whole to the Tunsil trade. Whereas this, they're keeping that trade in a vacuum and kind of, you know, they're treating the Texans like a playoff team that kind of knows what they're doing at this point. Like, all right, well, we'll see. Here was Ian Rapoport yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, said that there were plenty of teams that the Texans were in touch with in an effort to move Laremy Tunsil.
Did everybody know Laremy Tunsil was available?
they kind of, I don't want to say shopped, because it's not like they were like, shopping is more like, we're trying to get rid of him. If not, we'll cut him. They talked to some teams who were in the tackle market, and some of those teams opted for younger or cheaper versions.
Okay. We'll see.
Bad move.
Yeah, we will.
We'll see. No, this is like the really interesting stuff to me. It's like several teams who either signed tackles or were in the tackle market had the chance for Tunsil, decided not to. Like, we're going to see how it goes.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, I know how it's going to go with Tunsil. Tunsil's going to do his
pretty good.
That's how it's going to go. CJ's wondering what the hell's going on.
Yeah,
and Jaden Daniels is going, thank you.
Yeah.
Everything going on in Washington right now.
Okay, a couple things.
Yeah, okay, just, Pat. Yeah, he's going to keep doing his thing.
Yeah, the last part there, McAfee, is just blather. You know, like, that's just babble. Like, that, he's going to keep doing his thing. His thing is what got him traded, which he's really good at pass protecting, and there's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more that goes with Laremy Tunsil that if you're someone like Pat McAfee who doesn't watch the Texans on a weekly basis or you're not around the team, you understand this trade less. And I've come to accept that. The end part there, too, is like, and CJ's wondering what's going on. We don't know what CJ thinks about anything right now. CJ's invisible. He hadn't been anywhere. Like, he's been
right
off the grid.
He didn't do any sad face emojis or anything, which is the right move. I think as a quarterback, you got to let the you don't want to be perceived as criticizing your front office or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think CJ wondering what's going on is a good thing. I think that CJ this last year learned a lot about the way the NFL operates, mm-hmm. and that it's not as easy as just, oh, go out and fling the ball around a little bit, and here we go. Because in 2023, they did some promising things, but they weren't a genuinely good offense. Yeah. And he learned exactly how hard it is to have a good offense. But CJ, to go back to that interview with the Pivot podcast last year where CJ described Tunsil as a vet who's not doing nothing extra at practice, that is the exact opposite of the type of player that DeMeco Ryans wants on his team, and certainly in what is perceived as a leadership role. Hey, there are vets around the league, guys that just kind of are like, hey, I've earned my stripes. I don't have to do all this extra stuff. That's not the kind of guy that DeMeco wants on the team, and that's precisely who Laremy Tunsil is. And the weirdest thing, honestly, it's dumbfounding to me, is the people who will say these notions about Laremy not being a leader are false. He was well liked in the locker room. I am besides myself with confusion as to when likability in the locker room became evidence of good leadership.
Yeah.
It can be an element of leadership, mm-hmm. but it's not synonymous with leadership. Not. That doesn't make any sense in the world. If anything, that's precisely the problem, is that you've got young guys who look up to Laremy Tunsil. How does Laremy Tunsil operate? He doesn't do nothing extra. That's nothing extra. That's what a vet does. Yeah, get him the hell out of there. That's a bad influence on CJ. It's a bad influence on young offensive linemen. If you're trying to restructure this offense to be more fundamentally sound, having a pass protection specialist is not the way to do it.
Yeah. I was trying to explain to the host that I went on with in Washington yesterday on their midday show of our sister station, the Laremy Tunsil practice experience, you know, the how he sort of handles his business. And it was really fun because one of them, I don't know which host, was like, oh, well, that's just a vet day off. Like, I'm not too worried about that. That's a normal thing. I'm like, we'd probably need a little more time for me to explain to you just what the vet thing is. You know, like it's not the veteran days off. I mean, it kind of is the veteran days off when you're the leader of an O-line that stinks during the season and you're healthy enough to practice. Clint's made that point many, many times. The thing that I like about what Ian Rappaport just said there, Seth, two things. One is that for everybody who's thinking that, Washington got a deal here, Washington got over, there were plenty of other teams, it sounds like, that could have made this deal and chose not to. They chose to go in a different direction. You know, so if Laremy Tunsil is this mega left tackle that everybody who wants to think that the Commanders blew the Texans out of the water in this deal, there were a lot of other teams that could have made a similar deal. They chose not to do it. The main thing I really like is, and I expected this to be the case, but hearing Rappaport say that the Texans were not shopping him, but they were actively out there, you know, looking for, you know, they were, for lack of a better word, the aggressors in this. This wasn't Washington calling them up and saying, hey, is Tunsil available? If they're going about it the way that Rappaport described it, this is an indicator of what we've, it's symptomatic of what we've seen, which is they are attacking this thing, man. They are attacking this offensive line teardown, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think, I wouldn't be surprised if we learn later that they'd been open to trading Laremy Tunsil for a while. It's just a matter of getting the right compensation for it and not wanting to, or timing that you just, there's certain things that you can take a big gamble on, but, you know, trading a guy right before the season, trading a guy in season, that's dicier in a lot of ways when things are already bad. If you're going to trade him and you're rebuilding the offensive line, do it right at the beginning of free agency, because you've got A, free agency to fill in and patch up some things, and then B, the draft, and then post-draft potential trades. There's trades. When you look at this offensive line, and people like Pat McAfee or anybody else says, well, they don't look. What is their offensive line right now? Like, what are you dullards? Yeah. Have you not paid attention to the various different ways you can add people to your team? Like right this moment, people are adding people to their teams.
You like Sam Monson, formerly of PFF?
I have a good relationship with him and Steve Palazzolo.
Yep.
I've been on their podcast a couple times.
Yeah, they do a podcast together. I like their work, too. When they were with PFF, I enjoy their podcast now, the PFF Pro Football Focus. Here was Sam Monson with Steve Palazzolo on their podcast talking about the Tunsil trade.
There's no way you can paint trading away Laremy Tunsil as a positive personnel move for this team, right? Maybe they can turn it into something good, but right now they are notably worse than they were like 6 hours ago when they had a Pro Bowl slash All Pro caliber left tackle blocking for their young quarterback that's, you know, struggled in year two, et cetera. So you trade away a really good player like that, even if you got, you know, a net second and a third round pick for this, that's fine. But right now you're worse than you were when that happened.
Yeah, you can't. Yes, you're a worse football team. You're a worse football team on March 10th, 2025 without Laremy Tunsil than you were with Laremy Tunsil. I can't change the rules, Sam Monson, and allow the Texans to use those draft picks the same day that they trade for them. They're going to have to wait for the draft like everybody else. So I don't think there's anybody out there saying that trading, like if they cut Laremy Tunsil, we would have been like, all right, well, that seems extreme to not get anything for him, just to cut him and let him go and take a big cap hit. Sure. But yeah, yes, right now they are. But they're going to make more moves.
I DM'd Sam about this because he had tweeted out this. The capability of fans to lose grip with reality is mind-blowing. There are people out there firmly convinced that regardless of what they got from him, the Texans' O-line is better without Laremy Tunsil on it because he has a lot of false starts. Lots of straw man arguments right there.
Yeah.
Is that, okay, yeah, maybe some fans are saying they're better right now. I don't know. But the downsides, I think people vastly underestimate what it's been like watching Laremy Tunsil over these past several years, the way he operates in all respects. And like anybody credible that's not speaking purely out of emotion doesn't think that they're a better offensive line right this moment, but they feel they're better suited to build an entire offensive line with the cap space, A, because that's been left out a lot of this. It's weird because like right now people are usually chatting a lot about you cleared cap space, and it's better to have on any offensive line in the league. If you've got four substandard offensive linemen and one stud, ask any GM in the league, hey, would you rather have five average starting offensive linemen if you have to give up that one stud?
Yeah,
they'll take that because you get what you had last year. So the cap space allows you to sign guys like Laken Tomlinson and whoever else they end up going and signing or trading for or whatever. So it's not that it's the second day of free agency.
Yeah.
And not even the official start of free agency.
Yeah.
Nobody's out there pretending that the Texans are done making moves.
Of course.
That's just that's not the way the NFL works.
No. I'll say this, the last group of people I would expect to wrap their brains around the intangible stuff with Laremy, the chemistry stuff, the behind-the-scenes stuff. And we got to get to some of the things Albert Breer had in his story yesterday about the Texans' offensive line room. We'll get to that. But the last group I would expect for that to factor that in might be the guys from PFF, who are the hyper-analytic, film-is-everything guys. You know, they probably listen less to the locker room arguments than the on-field stuff. One person who should benefit greatly from the trade of Laremy Tunsil, just purely from a mental health standpoint, would be our friend Andre Ware, color analyst for Houston Texans games since inception. Andre does a great job both with the Texans and on ESPN. He's far less likely to have a stroke on the air now that Laremy is gone, like, say, the Minnesota game this past
year. Looks like a false start on the Texans. Let's find out who.
Before the snap. False start. Offense, number 78. It's a five-yard penalty. Still first down.
He got it out of the way early. Laremy Tunsil.
It's every week, though. I mean, you're a Pro Bowl player. There's no excuse for that. None.
Back to the 15 we go.
Vandy just trying to get the train back on the tracks is my favorite. I love that.
It is. When I DM'd Sam Monson, I kind of said what I had just said, which is it's short term. Yes, short term it's a minus. Long term, if you're trying to build something that you actually want to live in, if Kirk Holmes is building this offensive line, something that you feel great about, that you got to get rid of the black mold. You know, you got to get rid of the fungus that's growing in the old appliances in the tear down house before you build up a new home.
Amen.
So there's a lot to it. And that's the part that nobody outside of Houston, including people who watch a lot of film, would truly understand. Was what it's like in real time, multiple times, in really critical situations.
That's the big part.
Where the leader on your offensive line it has a false start. Yep. And then blames others for it repeatedly, over and over and over again. He blamed others, including insinuating that it's the center's fault.
Yeah.
Even though the center was an issue for any of the other offensive linemen
three other guys out there.
Yeah. Somehow it was the multiple different centers were to blame for Laremy Tunsil being a league leader in false starts every year.
Have you seen these excerpts from the Albert Breer article that mentions the Laremy Tunsil trade?
So
Albert Breer, and I'll admittedly, I haven't seen the article. I saw these excerpts last night as I was getting home from the rodeo, and I bookmarked them, and I'm like, all right, I got to make sure I put this in the rundown, and I didn't. But it dawned on me here as you and I are talking about Tunsil. Albert Breer has a piece that includes some talk about the Tunsil trade. I'll read the parts that have been highlighted by many on the interwebs. The second question is, what happened with Tunsil that made him expendable? Tunsil, to be clear, is well-liked in the Texans building. That said, he isn't a tone setter, and the offensive line room in Houston last year went the wrong way, becoming borderline toxic, which adds context to the trade of Kenyon Green and the release of Shaq Mason. That's part of why the Texans figured they probably wouldn't give him a third top-of-market extension in 2026 after having paid him in 2020 and 2023. So with his 31st birthday in August, Houston spent the past few weeks quietly measuring trade interest in Tunsil and eventually found the right deal. The price they received for the 10-year vet is roughly the equivalent of a late first-round pick in the form of, and he lists all the picks they got. Basically, if you add up all the picks the Texans got using that point system, then it's the equivalent of a late first-round pick. That gives them resources to find Tunsil's replacement. If it's not someone on the roster such as Titus Howard or Blake Fisher, will they be able to get a suitable one? How this trade looks in 5 years rides on it. The words that are getting understandably the most attention, Seth, is that the offensive line room was, quote, borderline toxic with Laremy Tunsil in there.
Right, right. And there's a lot going on in that O-line room. The offensive line coach is gone now. Bobby Sloak was the offensive coordinator. So who knows in the game of he said, she said, whose fault was it? When I hear about the toxicity in the locker room, because Albert Breer used that term, one of the other national people used that term. I want to say it was James Palmer at one point. I think that the notion of, okay, is Laremy Tunsil a foxhole guy? Is he a guy that you want in the foxhole with you when times get tough? It feels like probably not.
Yes.
It's interesting that Albert Breer said well-liked in the building, because that could mean multiple things. Mm-hmm. And I think he was well-liked by some of the players and problematically some of the younger players. It's fun to hang out with the rich guy, you know? It's really fun to go hang around with a rich guy and go to places that you might not others. Doors open to you, all of that. And then, I want to emulate that guy. I want to emulate that guy that I like. I'd be curious to how well-liked he was upstairs and or amongst coaches and everybody else. So well-liked is a hazy term.
Yeah. The way I read that is he's not a bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a bad guy. He's just, you know, it's not a dog. Even though he likes to assess who's a dog on the team, ironically.
Well, yeah, he called Davis Mills a dog.
Everybody was a dog.
He called everybody was a dog.
Everybody.
It's a team full of dogs on a horrible football team.
It was the Humane Society over there, man. Dogs everywhere. So that was one trade, Laremy Tunsil. Kenyon Green was the other one. Kenyon Green for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. We're going to hear from C.J. Gardner-Johnson here in just a second. Best case, worst case for this trade and how it plays out, because the mere fact that they got something for Kenyon Green, I think, is a win. Now, look, that pick is still a bust. You know, you moved back a couple of spots. You pick Kenyon Green. Right in front of you goes Jordan Davis to the Eagles and Kyle Hamilton to the Ravens. Like, the pick of Kenyon Green, even with the 2 years, unless C.J. Gardner-Johnson turns into an all-pro at safety for you for the next couple of years, that pick of Kenyon Green is going to go down as a bust. Now that you're getting something out of this at the end here, a really good player at a position of need, I think is very, very good. And this is how I choose to look at this, Seth, just to continue to troll Cleveland a little bit. The Kenyon Green pick, I think, is viewed by and large, even though it wasn't the exact pick they got from the Browns, it was two picks later and they moved back.
Yeah.
It's viewed as a Deshaun Watson trade pick, I think, by most people. I choose to believe the Deshaun Watson trade continues to live on for a couple more years with C.J. Gardner-Johnson as a Houston Texan.
This is the one comparison that I've seen made about this trade or this move that I believe is not a fair comparison is Brandon Brooks going to the Eagles and becoming the belief is, oh, he went to the Eagles and all of a sudden became a good player. Brandon Brooks was already a really good offensive lineman. Now, he went and he played for Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach who's still there in Philadelphia, and he was on a better team and a better offense in a lot of regards, and he was more high profile. Yeah, but he was already a good player.
Yeah.
He had already established himself as a good offensive lineman, whereas Kenyon Green is very much a flyer. For the Eagles look at this as, hey, we're in a mode where we got to get rid of some of these veteran players, Darius Slay and whomever else, some of the high-dollar guys, because we're having to pay these guys like Zach Bond. They gave Saquon Barkley an extension. They've got a shed salary that they're probably going to release him anyway. So, hey, Kenyon Green, first-round pick from a few years ago. The upside in a lot of people's minds is still there, but he's had all these injuries. So let's give him to Jeff Stoutland and see what we can do with him. It makes sense for both sides, but I don't fear that all of a sudden, I think it's very unlikely that all of a sudden Kenyon Green becomes anywhere near as good a player as Brandon Brooks.
No, yeah, that, I think it's a really important distinction for people, because I'm with you. I saw Brandon Brooks' name was finding its way onto my radar yesterday because of this trade. Kenyon Green is the equivalent of the seventh round pick in the Christian Kirk or Joe Mixon trade. That's what this is. They were going to cut, to your point, they were going to cut C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and instead the Texans have something of value that the Eagles want, and it's a scratch-off ticket for them. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Brandon Brooks signed a really good deal in free agency with Philly. Like he was a desired asset that there was a market for out there. If Kenyon Green got cut, he's not getting the contract Brandon Brooks got even 10 years ago. You know
what
I mean?
The biggest issue with Brandon Brooks is that it felt like, go back and watch any comedian like Bill Burr or anybody else talk about how Bostonian men feel about therapy, where Brandon Brooks had anxiety disorder. Bill O'Brien, crusty New Englander. It felt like that just wasn't gonna be a match or a fit. Where in Philadelphia, they did a much better job managing it with Brandon Brooks. So, but yeah, It's an easy comparison. I get it, because it's a guard going from the Texans to the Eagles. Brandon Brooks was already a good offensive lineman when he went to the Eagles.
Yep. Let's hear from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. This was C.J. Gardner-Johnson yesterday on getting the phone call that he was being traded.
I ain't lying to you. I thought April Fools. I ain't lying. I saw 3-1, like, man, that's April Fool. They damn sure got me. They playing crazy with me right now. But no, it wasn't no love law. It wasn't no bad blood. It was a great phone call. Great phone call. It was an amazing phone call, to be all the way thorough. Great phone call.
thought it was April Fool's on March 11th.
All the way thorough. Yeah, I like it. He doesn't live by your strict time.
Oh,
codes,
the calendar. So. No, he doesn't. He doesn't do the calendar. He's not. He's
he
having
said
nothing.
He saw
to
the 3-1.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
The
yeah.
area codes in Philadelphia are 215-267 and 445. So I don't know what the 3-1 was. Text in. Somebody out there knows what he was talking about.
He was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. You know what? I think that getting traded to the Texans, especially this year, and the reputation that the defense made for itself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that C.J. Gardner-Johnson probably, when he saw the number and he thought, okay, I see what the Eagles are doing and they're shedding some salary, that I might be on the block. I mean, the Eagles have a bunch of young defensive backs that are really, really good, that there's a chance. And then the first thought might be, oh gosh, please don't let it be the Browns. Please don't let it be somewhere else.
Yeah.
At some point, though, does he sit back and reflect and think, they traded me for what? Like, they traded me for who?
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
There's probably a little bit of an ego part where, like, you know, it'd be nice to be traded for some notable picks or something.
Well, let's take a listen, because he describes how the deal came about, and it sounds like he was pretty self-aware in knowing that he wasn't going to be one of the guys that was going to get paid, that some of the other guys were going to get paid here. Here's C.J. Gardner-Johnson describing how the deal came about.
Situation is, them young guys got to get paid in Philly. Jalen Carter, Reed, Zach, all them guys got to get their money. They deserve it. You know, me getting older, so I got to understand, like, it was no bad blood. It was nothing. So, you know, all I asked them was, like, between me and y'all, like I told them, I just want to go somewhere where I could play winning football. I ain't asked for a specific place. I just, feel me? This honesty, man. I just want to play winning football. Like, I ain't saying a lot. Other than that, you know, I woke up next day and boom, there it is. So, we're in Houston.
All right, so we're in Houston. So it sounds like to me they discussed this on Monday. That C.J. Gardner-Johnson discussed it with the Eagles on Monday. And perhaps it sounded like he knew that he was not going to be an Eagle next year. Sounds like they conveyed to him that this could be a possibility that we end up, instead of cutting you, we end up trading you so we can get something for you. And maybe they were willing to play ball and say, okay, well, we'll do our best to send you to a winning environment, which I think this qualifies as right now.
Yeah. Like
he seems excited about it. Yeah.
For sure. And, I mean, the potential for creating turnovers now in that secondary is just huge.
Oh.
If Kalen Bullock spends the entire offseason with the jug on the jugs machine, especially, then I mean, if he could come up with even half of his near interceptions, it would have been crazy. But the potential for this defense, especially at NRG Stadium, to just wreak havoc could be really, really good. It's a lot of fun to think about. And I think it's realistic to tantalize yourself with the notion, because C.J. Gardner-Johnson has 13 interceptions in his last 21 regular season
games. That's a great stat.
He's a turnover machine.
That's a great stat. And just think about, you know, specifically the guys that are already on the Texans, like the types of interceptions we're talking about here. Like these are not interceptions of luck, or some of them are, overthrows, things like that. But, like, picture Derek Stingley going up with Tyreek Hill and ripping the ball away from him. Kalen Bullock going up and over crowds of people. Kamari Lassiter, some of the picks he had this past season. You know, the one down near the goal line against Detroit there. And just the types of interceptions these guys get. It's not just that they're so sound fundamentally. They're very good athletically as well. One more from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You know a pet peeve of mine, Seth, is anybody that uses "Houston, we have a problem" in any shape, form, or fashion. So my question to you, I'm going to let you listen to this. Does C.J. Gardner-Johnson get a pass for his use of it here on his Instagram live feed?
What my text? "Houston, we got a problem."
I thought there was another in there.
Smart.
I think whoever cut that left out another
I'm going to give him a pass till he gets here and somebody explains to him that, hey, if he had said, "Houston, we got a problem, you're getting a smart, tough, and dependable football player."
That would have been out. Yeah.
No, I give anybody a pass. Plus, he's using it in a positive way. So it's not like he's using it to throw shade. So we're good on that.
Dude.
As long as you're not using it to throw shade, then I'm cool with it. I'm not cool with it long term, but yeah, there's an indoctrination.
He gets a mulligan. Yeah, he gets a mulligan. Yeah. To me, Ben, cue it up again. To me, it's the noises he's making afterwards that give him the pass.
What my text? "Houston, we got a problem."
Do you
think Howard Dean?
Do you? I mean, I don't want to speculate, but I guess I will. Like, he sounds a little bit like he's taking advantage of the looser marijuana rules right there. He sounds a little, you know, relaxed right there.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't care either way.
This is new rap that I don't get. Yeah,
right. This is the new
mumble rapping or doing whatever.
This
yeah,
is the new mumble rap. Yep. He's only 27 years old, man. Like, of all the things to take away from that trade yesterday, because I was doing, you know, I'm checking it, I'm writing about it for the Houston Press, and I'm going to the Pro Football Reference page. I'm like, okay, how old is he? Because he's played. This will be the fifth different team he's played for in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Two of those seasons were the Eagles, but there was a Detroit season in between. So he's in New Orleans back in 21. He goes to the Eagles in 22. He goes to Detroit in 23. It's back to the Eagles last year. And now he's a Texan. So when that type of thing's happening, that's where I'm feeling you're like at the Jadeveon Clowney stage where you're in your early 30s and you're just jumping team to team to team. And lo and behold, I'm looking at his pro football reference page and I'm like, that's not that many years. He's only been in the league 6 years. He's 27 years old. They're getting a hard-hitting, turnover-generating safety in his prime at a very good price over the next 2 years. 2 years, $19 million, and the guy embodies everything that D'Amico Ryans wants in a safety, I would imagine.
In a player, yeah. I think there's a part of him where I'm guessing his on-field antics might be reflected a little bit, and the guy's a hot wire.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. The fact that he's bounced around a little bit, he obviously brings a lot to the table in terms of playmaking ability. He did let up a couple touchdowns in the playoffs. So there's probably maybe just that element. I feel like he almost be like a Lonnie Johnson who can play football. That there, Lonnie Johnson plus football playing ability.
Yes.
Which, by the way, Ian Rappaport annoyed me when he reported Lonnie Johnson going to the Raiders. He said the Raiders get a proven veteran player.
No, he didn't say that.
He did. Raiders get a proven veteran player.
Is there more than one Lonnie Johnson?
Lonnie Johnson, the cornerback / safety.
You've got to be kidding.
That went to the Raiders, yeah. So,
dude, he must know his agent. Like, he
Lonnie Johnson's grown up some, but he had a lot of growing up to
do. He's not been a productive NFL player. Okay, now I'm mad. I gotta go find
Well, Lonnie Johnson's the same way.
Yeah.
It feels like because there's always been drama attached to him because he's been on four different teams now, that it feels like he's been in the league a lot longer than 6 years.
Yeah. Do you think that C.J. Gardner-Johnson would be able to wear the T-shirt if the Texans win a Super Bowl or they beat the Kansas City Chiefs at some point?
What did it say? Bleep Taylor Swift?
No.
Or bleep the Swifties?
It used the Super Bowl Roman numeral on the shirt. The Roman numeral is L-I-X.
Yeah.
Licks.
Yeah.
So it talked about, I can't.
Who did he take a shot at?
He took a shot at the Swifties.
Okay, gotcha.
At the Swifties, but it was very graphic in nature.
Okay.
It was describing a graphic act that you would do to somebody.
I knew he took a shot at the Swifties because he had taken shots at Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift after the Super Bowl, after mixing it up with Travis Kelce during the game.
Yep.
And I, for one, stand with whatever his grudge is against the more toxic of the Swifties.
No, I do too.
By and large, it's a nice, gentle group of fans, but there's a toxic element to it.
Right. No, I do too. I just wonder if here in Houston, somebody might walk up and say, "Yeah, you can just don't be as graphic with the description on your T-shirt there." That's not Texans worthy.
Houston, now this is the other part about C.J. Gardner-Johnson that I do like.
Yeah,
we've seen, as we saw in Miami, some defensive backs will chafe against Vic Fangio and what he asks them to do in a defense. He asks his players to be really smart. They have to play with a lot of discipline. They have to understand tendencies, and not everybody can latch onto it and does all that well with it, and they end up blaming Vic Fangio for them being dumb. So I like that C.J. Gardner-Johnson thrived in a Vic Fangio defense.
Yes.
It hints at a good football IQ.
For those who don't know, Seth is allowed to have this assessment because he played for Vic Fangio for four seasons. He knows. He played in that defense. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Seth, what do you think of Laken Tomlinson, the new offensive lineman that the Texans signed yesterday?
The biggest, honestly, boring thing that I'd get excited about with Laken Tomlinson is that he is very, very durable. He also did allow a lot of sacks last year. So he's a guy that made a Pro Bowl in 2021 or so, but he's been 21. a solid and dependable player for much of his career. Without having gone back and watched all of the sacks he allowed, he was playing on a bad offensive line. I think that they probably just like the stability that he provides. He's played in a scheme that's got a lot of either Shanahan or McVay tendencies before.
Yep.
He's been in a zone-based scheme most of his entire career. I wouldn't read too much into that. I think they probably look at him as a versatile player that is athletic enough to play in a zone-style scheme, but I don't think that's a hint at what kind of offense they're going to run or anything.
The big thing I would add to all that was all good. The big thing I would add to that is that in a period here where the Texans appear to be recalibrating the attitude and the chemistry and the culture of their offensive line room, D'Amico Ryan spent five seasons with him in San Francisco. The first 5 years of D'Amico Ryan's coaching career, 2017 through 2021, Laken Tomlinson was on the team there. So unless there's been a drastic shift in who he is as a person and as a teammate over the last 3 years, D'Amico Ryan should have a pretty good idea of what they're getting from a cultural perspective.
Right. So, and I've seen a lot of depth charts where they pencil him in as the starter on day one. I don't think it's nearly as simple and straightforward. And to the people's credit who put those depth charts out, that's the depth chart as it would stand right now.
Yeah, they don't have enough guys barely to field a line right now.
Right. Most of the people that put those depth charts out say, hey, this could very much change.
Yeah.
It's a nice piece if you're going to have a competitive environment and guys are going to have to earn their jobs. But at the very least, if he does end up being a backup, he's an older player, but who's been very, very durable, as opposed to Shaq Mason, who's really had to battle injuries and started to show his age the last couple of years. So I don't look at it as a huge upgrade or anything, but I think it's a type of signing that you're probably going to see over the next few days.
Yeah, I think he sounds like he could very well be one of those guys that you've been talking about in describing what a viable offensive line is in the NFL, which is just five guys doing their job. You know, like nobody's road grading everybody on every play. Just five guys opening up holes and making sure CJ doesn't get his ass kicked.
And somewhere along the way, they add via the draft or a trade or something else, maybe a glitzier player or a guy that's capable of Pro Bowls and All Pros. But for now, I think they just want they want a fundamentally sound offense, because they were not a fundamentally sound offense last year.
Along those lines, talking about bringing a young guy in, we'll do the mock draft injection coming up here in the next segment. Are we into that phase now where every single draft expert has an offensive lineman going to the Texans because of where they are right now? We'll do our first post Kenyon Green and Laremy Tunsil trade mock draft coming up next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Before we get to this mock draft, I'm looking up at the TV in our studio here, and ESPN is on, and one of the topics they're teasing is, are Caleb Williams and the Bears ready to bear down this year and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, they've had a, they've signed a lot of guys. They've done a rebuild of their offensive line, which has been widely praised and rightfully so. I praise it as well. But Seth, my one big wish, this, we'll get to this mock draft here in a second, but as I'm looking at this and this is on my mind, you know, I have a few teams every season that I root against almost as much as I root for the Houston Texans. Chicago is going to be one of those teams this year because they're getting so widely praised for this offensive line reboot as if they're doing something revolutionary. Ryan Poles will probably be back on the interview circuit soon too because he's getting praise now. He's not nearly as out there when he's getting criticism. I am hoping like crazy that they make all these moves on the offensive line and that Caleb Williams still gets sacked 60 times because he just doesn't get rid of the football.
Yes.
That's my big hope. It's a very kind of niche, nerdy hope, but I have a big hope for that.
It is. It's a big one. And now it's interesting because Justin Fields has had the same issue, taking sacks that are his fault. You go to the advanced stats and they show the ones that the quarterback is responsible for. He's gotten better at it. It feels like Justin Fields is more wired to be coachable, though, in a lot of ways than perhaps Caleb Williams. Yeah. I don't think Justin Fields has ever had maybe that diva persona or even accusations the same way that Caleb Williams has. I feel like Caleb Williams thinks he's the bleep and knows he's the bleep and that he can make something out of nothing and he's going to hold on to the ball too long. Justin Fields, I think it's he's showed that he's coachable in it. He's improved at that. He's improved in that regard over time. So, because the Bears are doing what a lot of Texans fans wish the Texans would do. They've gone out and aggressively gone after name brand offensive linemen.
Yeah.
The Texans' approach is going to have to be a little bit more muted and long term in its vision, and maybe they trade for a big name guy, but I think what you're going to see is them get some blue collar, just steady starter caliber offensive lineman in free agency and go into the draft hoping to upgrade that way, and maybe a trade comes along the way somewhere down the pike, but it's not going to nearly have the same glitz. As much as an O-line rebuilding can have glitz attached to it, it's not going to have as many headlines attached to it as the Bears.
We've had like, I don't know, man, we've had like a trade per business day over the last handful of, you know, like the Christian Kirk thing came down like Thursday or Friday last week, you know, then you take the weekend off. And you come back on Monday and you trade Laremy Tunsil, and yesterday you trade Kenyon Green. I'm fully expecting a trade in the 9 o'clock hour today of someone.
I think the real big question is, what do they do with Tytus Howard? I mean,
huge question.
If right this moment you had to go out and play the Chiefs or the Bills in the playoffs with this offensive line, you'd be screwed. You'd be absolutely hosed. We know that. Nick Caserio knows that.
Yes.
They're not done making moves. We haven't even officially hit free agency yet.
Right, right.
They've already gotten rid of three of their five starters from last year's opening day roster on offensive line. And they've signed one sedated sign in Laken Tomlinson. They're gonna add some guys in free agency.
For sure.
I don't know if Tytus Howard is one of the guys that they're looking to trade or not.
Yep, we'll see. We'll see. He's gotta have his head on a swivel right now, man, I would imagine. You know, you watch, he of all guys in that building, his head's gotta be spinning right now. Like Jarrett Patterson's the only guy, or Juice Scruggs. However you want to frame the five. Yeah, I guess Juice would be the one because we're talking about the starting offensive line like at the beginning of last year. Three-fifths of that is gone. Juice ain't going anywhere because he's a second-round pick going into his third year. He's still got value on a rookie deal. Tytus, his head's got to be spinning, dude, right now. You know,
Tytus is a guy that I think people look at and either assume or believe that, all right, this is a guy that looked up to Laremy Tunsil and idolized him and wanted to be Laremy Tunsil. And yet Tytus Howard does not have the physical ability to operate the way Laremy Tunsil does.
No.
And, you know, so they might look at it as, all right, we're going to get Laremy out of the building and let's see if we can get the absolute most out of Tytus Howard now. Or maybe they just say, nope, we're cleaning house and we're going to get swarm type of players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what their PFF grades are. I want swarm type of players, guys that are tough and gritty and nasty and physical.
And smart. Know how to pick up stunts. That kind of stuff,
too.
You know, like internalize the game plan. All right, so along those lines, let's get to this mock draft. This mock draft is from a draft expert that works for NBCSports.com. This is probably Florio's website here. His name is Eric Froton, And I'm picking him because we've not done a mock draft of his yet. We've not used NBC as an outlet. So let's see what old Froton has them doing here. Sounds like a character out of Lord of the Rings.
I'm trying to figure out whether I like it or not. But yeah, like it's too close to Frodo.
Yeah.
And yet Froton makes it sound like a sci-fi character.
Sci-fi character. Right. Like, yeah. Oh, the great Froton.
Froton the photon or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or something that it like... Or like a chemical that fell off of the periodic tables. Like, oh yeah, where's Froton up there? There's Proton. There's, yeah. So let's do it here. 25th, with the 25th overall pick in the Eric Froton NBC Sports mock draft, the Houston Texans select Gray Zabel, offensive lineman, North Dakota State. Here's what Frody has to say. The surprising trade of Laremy Tunsil paints Houston into a corner with this selection, as they will almost assuredly be taking an offensive lineman with one of their first two selections. I would stop right there and say they could take offensive lineman with each of their first two selections at this point with the way that room is right now. Specific to Zabel, he has short arms, which will limit his utility as a tackle. For those who don't know, he played tackle at North Dakota State, but he showed out in Senior Bowl practices and can play any spot on the offensive line.
I'd be very, very happy with this pick. I think he projects to be an interior offensive lineman because he doesn't have short arms. He doesn't have stumpy arms. I was one of our listeners was irate with us a couple weeks back because I had said he had stumpy arms. Yeah, that was inaccurate by me.
Yeah.
I was wrong on that. Shorter than average arms, but you know, it doesn't bar him from playing offensive tackle. You know, that is the V word that became a dirty word, versatility, around here a few years ago. I think that they might look at that versatility, especially with the current state of the Texans offensive line, and think, all right, let's see how he adapts to guard, but maybe he can play tackle at some point. But he does play with that scrappiness that looks a lot more like a swarm type of player. So it would not surprise me at all if they drafted him.
Tyler Booker goes in this mock draft with the very next pick. If Booker and Zabel are on the board at the draft party on day one on that Thursday night, would you be disappointed if they took Zabel over Booker? Or do you trust their evaluation? How would you feel?
I would trust their evaluation, and I would be less surprised if they took Booker over Zabel, just because we know that Nick likes having as much film as possible against really good competition.
So Zabel, yeah.
Like, Zabel went to North Dakota State. He's beat up on lesser competition. Had a good showing at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
The entire week of practice, more so than the game. And so there's upside there, but I'm guessing that Nick looks at Zabel as a guy that maybe hopes he falls to the second round, and he likes the upside, but he just feels better about Tyler Booker because there's a larger body of work.
I'd be surprised if Booker and Zabel were on the board and they took Zabel.
Yeah. So
I'm repeating what you just said, but like I'm with you on that is what I'm saying.
I share that same opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm a guy that I was a lineman that played at a smaller conference.
Sure.
And I understand and get why there's concern about it. So that's the kind of guy that you hope if you get him in the second or third round, there's a lot of upside there. But he hasn't had a chance to expose his flaws as much as a guy like Tyler Booker has had a chance to expose his flaws.
All right, winners and losers of free agency so far. Is there a wunderkind who is taking some lumps here early in his general manager career? And how do the pundits feel about the Laremy Tunsil trade, winners and losers? We will get to that. Coming up next.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.